to talk about a yisoid, yisoidus atayra, a very big yisoid. This parasha that we read today is filled with so much chaskas. It's very hard to get past the first pasuk. And the whole Shabbos, I'm really holding by the first pasuk, and I'm still there. Vayishma Yisrael. So we spoke about today. It says Yisrael heard Mashmua Shama Uva. What was it that he heard? What was it that he heard that brought him? That brought him to Hashem Yisbarach? Because we also want to hear. We also want to be close to Hashem. We also want to convert. We can say such a lashon because we have from our Rebbe the Pietzner that he used that lashon on his 40th birthday, as you all know, I'm sure, those who have seen Netzav Vizir's Reitz Ani Liyais Yehudi, I want to be a Yid. His Gaia, to be a Yid. So what brought Yisro around? Kriyas Yamsu from Melchamas Amalek. He heard about the splitting of the sea and the war with Amalek, which we need to understand. I mean, the pasuk itself says, "Befeirush." Without Rashi, it says, "Ki Hoytzei Hashem es Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim." It says, "Befeirush Chumash." What do you mean, "Mashmua Shama Uva"? What did he hear? It says in Chumash, he heard Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it says, he heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ki Hoytzei Hashem, that the Bnei Yisrael took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Not only did Yisro hear this, the whole world heard this. This was something which was known to everybody in the world. So Rashi must be telling us, and Rashi is just saying from Chazal. Rashi is telling us that there was something different. There was a chiddush in how Yisro heard the same news that everybody else heard. In other words, everybody heard that the Jews left Egypt. And everybody heard about what happened. But there was one man who heard in a different way. And from his hearing, and his way of hearing, he changed his life. It means that there was something in Yitzias Mitzrayim that he listened to in the general story of Ki Hoytzei Hashem as Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, in that story that everybody heard. Everybody heard the miracles too, and they heard about Kriyas Yamsu B'Chamas Amalek. But when he went over this, and we spoke about it this morning, and by Shalosh Shudas, when he heard this, he listened again, and through his listening carefully, in particular to those two details of what? The two details of Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek, that by listening with a pnimius dikki hearing to those two details, he heard something different about Yitzias Mitzrayim that nobody else heard. Everybody heard the news, everybody read the papers, everybody saw the news. Everybody knew the chadashot. But he heard something in the chadashot. He heard something in the news that changed his life. What did he hear? Kriyas Yamsu from Melchemes Amalek. Everybody heard that too. But somehow through Kriyas Yamsu from Melchemes Amalek, he heard. And we need to understand what that was. We need to hear it. Because we also want to convert and be Jews. So what I'm going to talk about now is really, it's a very hard inyan, because I'm saying a little bit, even though I'm not going to use Lashonis, I'll be careful not to use Lashonis that I shouldn't be using. I mean, I always try, but it's a little bit hard to explain. But I'm confident that the Olam will be able to hear. I might not be able to explain it properly. When a Jew says Kriyishma at night, in Maariv, So we end Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and we attach it to which word right afterwards? Ve'emuna. Emes ve'emuna. Truth and faith. In the Svar Makdoshim were taught, Reb Tzadik and Balatani, it's Emel Sedek explains much more by Riches. All the Svar Makdoshim. That Mida which we call Emes, truth. Emes is an Or Pnimi, listen carefully. Emes is an inner light. What does that mean, an Or Pnimi? It's an Indian Kabbalah, but for us, an Almadrega, what does it mean, an inner light? The truth and one's awareness of the truth, when a person realizes the truth, is something which fills the mayach, the mind of a person. It fills the heart of a person. This is a merdek hanor, a pleasure and enjoyment that a person has when there's a relationship between the masig and the musag, the one who's trying to understand, and he understands now something which is understood, especially if it's something which is holy, which is godly. Emes fills a person. That's why it's called an inner light. Emuna, faith, is referred to in the Svar Makdoshim as an Or Makif. That means it's a surrounding light, an Or Makif. An Or Makif, a surrounding light, doesn't mean that something is lacking or something is missing. It means that it's so awesome, it's so great, it's so completely, completely beyond our understanding that it simply can't be contained within a kli, within a finite vessel of a human heart and a human mind. And our makif is not mislabesh. In the terminology of Chassidus, it's not mislabesh in the moich and the leiv. Emuna and our makif is something which can't be enclosed in a mind and a heart. It's that bechina which is referred to as Merachayk Hashem Nira Li. Even though he's far away, even though it's beyond my moyach and my life, my mind and my heart, Merachayk Hashem Nira Li. It's such a great light. It doesn't come into the, can't fit, it's not in the kalim. And it's something which I can't be masig. I can't really understand. I can't explain. And because of that, I can't say that it fills my mind. Because if you ask me, like Rav Nosson said, when David HaMelech says, Ani Yadati Ki Gadol Hashem. Ani Yadati, I know that Hashem is great. So Rav Nosson said, Ani Yadati, I know that He's great. I can't explain to you why He's great. I just know it. I just know it. Just knowing something, but it's not a knowledge that one can convey, that one can explain. It's not something which is understood. It's bilti musag. It's beyond understanding. It's makif. It surrounds. And it illuminates a person's life from beyond him, from a place beyond where he is. And it drives him, it pushes him to do Ratzon Hashem, even though he doesn't understand what he's doing. He doesn't know why he's doing this. If you interview this person, you ask him, tell me if you've been putting on film for the last 80 years. You know what's written inside of them? Oh, there's something inside? I didn't know that. I thought they were just nice boxes and God told me to do it. I don't know. The person doesn't have a hasag. Chlal doesn't understand. There's something that's pushing him. Even those Jews, as explained by Ariches B'Tanya, Yudches, Yutes, those Prokim and Tanya, Yisoyde Emuna. Even though it's a person that his whole life, he wasn't even religious, he wasn't observant. And then when he's tested with dying Al Kiddush Hashem, we've seen over and over and over, Hashem Yirachmi, we've seen that he didn't, that you didn't give their lives up to something that they can't understand, they can't explain. He can't say this is something which fills my mind and fills my heart, because he's never even given it a thought. He doesn't know. The shleimus of a Jew. Shleimus means the fullness, the wholeness of a person. Shleimus, of course, is from the Lashon Shalom. Shalom, peace. And peace, we understand what peace means. Ein kli machzik brocha la shalom. Peace means when there are two opposing koiches, two opposing ways, two opposing forces that can be brought together, even though they're at the opposite end of the universe, that there's a koyach above them that is able to bring these two opposing forces together. That's the meaning of shleimus. That's what shalom is. And therefore, a Jew, a Yid, even during the times of his greatest clarity, even when it's so clear to him and the emes is mamish shining in his eyes, and it makes sense, and his brain is working, and his heart is mamish, the heart is mamish filled with an awareness of that great truth, even at that moment of emes, a Jew has to be mizdabek always, always, to attach himself to emunah pshuta, to simple emunah. Even when there's an or pnimi, a light that fills him, he's never ever allowed to turn away from that light that surrounds him, from the emunah. This was, of course, taught by the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the words that we begin every Shemoneh Esrei with. Elokeinu v'elokei avoseinu. Elokeinu means our God. It means what I'm able to understand about God. That which excites me, that which my mind is stimulated by, my heart is invigorated by. It's what I understand, it's what I feel. That's called Elokeinu. That's what? That's Emes. Then there's Elokei Avoseinu. Elokei Avoseinu means like that Yid that's still putting on tefillin, and you ask him why? Because his father put on tefillin. And Elokei Avoseinu means the God of my fathers. And Elokei Avoseinu means emunah, means faith. It means without understanding, without feeling. There are certain times in life where the ikar avayda is emes. Emes sometimes when you're in yeshiva, when a person is a yom kippur, when a person goes through a difficulty, lo aleinu, and then they come out and they're stronger. So there are times in life where a person experiences emes when the mind and the heart, the mamish, shining with the or pnimi, with the inner light. And then there are times in life when the ikra avayda of a Jew, that's what we say it at Maariv, emes ve'emunah, we say at Maariv. Emes v'yatziv is when things are going very, very well, we feel it's clear. V'yatziv means standing, strong. But at night means when things are not going so well. And when things are not going so well, they're not so clear. Then the ikra avayda of a Jew in the nighttime of his life, Tikra Avayda is Emunah. And Shlomo HaMelech, who certainly was a person that knew more about the truth than anyone could possibly imagine. So Shlomo HaMelech, as you all know, said in Pasuk, it's in the seventh Perek of Kehelis, Ech kama v'hi rechaikim imeni. Ech kama v'hi rechaikim imeni. It's a short little Pasuk, but it has two parts. Ech kama means emes. Ech kama means wisdom. It means understanding. It means knowing. So Shlomo says, Ech kama. There's that in my life that is clear to me. There's that in my life that I know. Emes lamita. It's clear to me. And that amount of emes that Shlomo Melech knew is beyond anything we could possibly imagine. That's Ech kama. But then there are times in life, and really it's all of the time, even Shlomo HaMelech said, V'hi rechaikim imeni, because it's far from me. V'hi rechaikim imeni is even though I have so much emes, Shlomo HaMelech says, even though there's so much emes that I'm able to hold on to because of his great intelligence that Hashem Baruch blessed him with, Ech kama, Emes, but v'hira chayikim imeni. But there's still that which is beyond me, and I can't understand. That's where Chazal learned that this pasuk is talking about what? Paraduma. But Shlomo Melech said, even I can't understand Paraduma. Even though there was no human wisdom that was hidden from him. But Shlomo Melech, with all of his greatness, with all of the emes that he knew, still said, v'hira chayikim imeni. So that's what it means, the shleimus of a yid, the wholeness of a Jew. The shleimus of a yid is that there are certain times when we feel echkama. I understand. I'm feeling good about my Yiddishkeit. It makes sense to me. Echkama. And then there are times of a yirachaykim in that. And there are times when a person feels it's unbelievably beyond me. I don't feel it. I don't understand it. Yirachaykim in that. That's the time of emuna. The ikkar then is to tap into one's emuna. And the whole seder of a person's life is vahi erev, vahi boker, it was night and it was day. It's the svarim talk about ba'arichas. It means that before a person can come to any great new level of emes, the test that he must always go through is emuna. Because sof kol sof, Rabbi Yisai, we're not even capable of understanding emes at all without Hashem's Baruch Hu. So the Jewish people, before they came to the greatest experience of emes, which was this parasha, which was Maimon HaSinai, when Hashem's Baruch Hu told them the truth, they first had to go through a period of Vihira Chaykim Imani, Gevalt. They had to go through a terrible period of Mitzrayim, of terrible darkness. And during that time, a person is holding on to just Elokei Avoseinu. Like it says in the Medrash, that Mitzrayim, the Yidden, had certain scrolls that they used to sit on after they were able to be off Shabbos, because you know they were able, there was a time they were off Shabbos. And they used to sit around on Shabbos. What did they have? We think that they didn't have cholent, they didn't have kugel. They had these little scrolls. And they used to, these scrolls were telling them over the Maisim that there was once the Zaydi Avram Avinu, and the Baruch Shalom spoke to him. And the children would ask him, when's he going to speak to us? And the parents would say, a little bit more, hold on a little bit more, a little bit longer, he's going to talk to us also. And he hasn't forgotten us. Elokei Avoseinu, he's the God of our fathers. Any time that the Jewish people went through a period, any time they were being brought to a period of emes, it always was preceded by Vahi Erev, which is what? Emunah. Emptiness, a surrounding light. It's not clear, it's not in your heart, it's not in your brain. It's something which is just, you're trying to hold on to. It's something which is beyond the kalim of the mind and the heart. It's that b'china of a Jew that's called Emunah. And to daven, that the Baruch Shem should illuminate us with Emunah pshuta, with simple Emunah. So now we come to Yisro. Now that we heard a little bit of these two madrigas, of Emes and Emuna, now we come to Yisro. And listen carefully, it's a meridika thing. When Yisro saw, when he heard all about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he understood the Bnei Yisrael were heading towards Har Sinai, his understanding of this was that the Jewish people are in a program which consists of aliyahs, of continuous aliyahs from Madrega to Madrega. From one level, Hashem Shabbat took them out, higher levels, Kriyas Yalam Suf, higher levels, bringing them mamish to Maimon HaSinai, and that from there they're going to continue higher and higher and higher until they're going to build a base of Mikdash and so on. They're going to go to Eretz Yisrael and build a base of Mikdash. That's how he looked at Bnei Yisrael from the outside. There are many Jews who are not religious who, before they come in to our little world, they imagine that all of us, no, the firm ones, that all of us are constantly growing, constantly moving forward. All they see from the outside, shuls, people going to shuls, and new shuls going up, and new yeshivas going up, Baruch Hashem, and they imagine that every single religious Jew is in this state of unbelievable aliyah. Unbelievable aliyah, until they come to contact with us. Until they get to know us a little better. or even if they just are visiting one of our neighborhoods and they're getting blocked in 12 different cars, and so on and so forth. But they imagined from the outside that Jews are just leaving Mitzrayim and going to Har Sinai and they're taking off. So Yisro looked at himself, as we learned today from the Majlis Seralat. Yisro looked at himself and he thought, why do I have a shaykhus to this? I have a connection to such a people. To people like this, who God has taken and chosen them and brought them up to this place, and is taking them to the highest, highest levels of the world. I, a Kayan Midian, a priest of Midian, a person who spent all of his years in the lowest, lowest, most disgusting things. What shaykhus, a person with my past, a person with my past, and everybody knows, everybody here who's honest knows that anybody here who ever saw a movie that wasn't right, or read a book or a magazine that wasn't right, you know that your whole life, you can't forget it. You can just make believe you forget it, but then from time to time, you remember. So could you imagine? Yisro was thinking, what do I have a shaykhus with these people? With these holy people, and God's taking to Har Sinai, Akoyin Midian, the lowest of the low. So what brought him out of that feeling? So Rashi asks, Uma Shmua Shoma Uva, what did Itake hear? Uma Shmua Shoma Uva, what did Yisro hear that brought him, that gave him the koiches, that gave him the encouragement to move forward, to convert? Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek, the splitting of the ocean, of the sea, and the war with Amalek. He began to realize with these two events that really it's not the way that it looks like from the outside, that everything is so clear and simple and easy for religious people, for the Jewish people, that everything is so smooth, it's just a nice highway. Everybody just goes, they get up in Morid Ani. You know, like when you have, if you have guests over that are new to Yiddishkeit, or they're just looking into a little bit, and you're trying to show everything is so beautiful and everything's the way it's supposed to be, and explain all of our customs and all the halachas, you know, and then that unbelievable feeling of relief when the guests leave and you feel like you don't have to be a Chavetz Chaim anymore, you just be yourself. So Yisro didn't see that part of us, you know. He only saw and he heard, wow, everything is gewaldig, everything is perfect. So he learned through Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek that it's not all emes. To be a Jew is not just emes. It's not just an inner light that fills your heart and fills your mind. And the Jews are always like up there and singing and having kumzitzin and enjoying their Yiddishkeit and feeling so absolutely secure and comfortable. People who aren't religious who are just starting in Yiddishkeit, they look at us with unbelievable envy and they think, wow, maybe one day, I don't know if it's possible, that I'll be so certain in my ways and I'll know the truth just like these religious Jews. And we're looking at them, we're thinking, wow, maybe one day Hashem will help me that I'll be as sincere and as religious as these Balei Teshuva, right? Maybe one day. And each looks at the other one with envy. The Balei Teshuva are filled with unbelievable emunah. They look at the frum Jews and they're jealous of the emes that they think the frum people have. And the frum people who are supposed to—they're living lives of emes because they're keeping the Shulchan Aruch. And they look at the Balei Teshuva and they say, "Wow, if only I had such emunah to change my life like that. I can't change one habit, let alone my entire life." So Yisro looked and he began to see. He began to understand Mashmul Shamoba. That really, being a Jew doesn't mean that everything is clear. And being a Jew doesn't mean that your mind and heart are always filled with the inner light of that, with that clarity and that truth. He realized that the Jewish people are being called upon by Hashem Yisbarach to live lives of emes ve'emuna. Adrabah. What he understood, and this is mamish one of the biggest sayyidists in the Kisvei Ha'ari, and that's why I have to just say it in a way that we should all understand it on our level. Adarabha. The Ari HaKadosh taught, where did Gerim come from? Converts. It's not a Ger. Where did the Ger come from? So we know that according to the Arizal, they were originally Jews, right? Well, the Gerim were the originally Jews and they got fablonged. Something happened. But they were originally Jews. So how does a Ger come? And it's also with Bala Tshuva. But with a Ger, it's obviously much more extreme. A Bala Tshuva is coming from within Klai Yisrael. He was in Klai Yisrael, just on the side. A Ger is coming outside of Klai Yisrael. It's a big chiddush. So where does a Ger come from? How is that? How does he remember that he was at Har Sinai? Because every Ger was originally there. So how does a Ger remember after 12 generations of Avodah Zarah? 12 generations of Galachim, of Avodah Zarah, of Kayin Midian, Kayin Rome, Kayin Greece. How does a Ger all of a sudden remembers, I think I'm a Jew. I don't know, I feel, when I see Jews, I feel that this is my thing. I don't feel it. Even though for the last 500 years, my family's been in this, I just don't feel it. Or for the last, I don't know where I come from, but I don't feel this is me. But when he sees Jews who are keeping Torah mitzvahs. When he sees somebody wearing a talis over the head. I've spoken to hundreds of them. What is that? Where does that come from? How does he remember? So the Ari HaKadosh says a very, very deep thing. The Ari HaKadosh says that when you and I, when Jews go through our periods of emuna, right, when it's dark, when it's not clear, when we're outside, when the emes is not in us, we don't feel the emes, and we're like fablunchet, but we struggle to what? To connect to Elokei Avoseinu. And we go all the way back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we go back to the beginning with emuna, with a simple emuna, mamish, the emuna of Maariv at the night, that when we do that, we bring out from that place of darkness, Geirim and Bali Tshuva. When we come out of those periods of darkness, holding on to our Yiddishkeit, despite all the difficulties, despite the tests, despite the darkness, despite our not feeling any emes or understanding the emes, just doing it because we're Jews and this is what we do. Emunah pshuta. Elokei Avoseinu. When we do that, then those Yidden that were once connected to Avoseinu, to our ancestors, but they got lost. They brought out. That's how we bring them out. That's how it explains in the Svarim HaKadoshim the whole inyan of that unbelievable meeting between Shammai and then Hillel HaZaken with the potential convert, which I don't want to go into right now. It's discussed at length in the Svarim, but you know that there was this amazing meeting and that Shammai rejected this person. Why? Because he wanted to know the whole Torah standing on one foot. You remember? He wanted to know the whole Torah standing on one foot. So it says that he took from the Amas HaBini, he took a beam from the building and he went, okay, Shammai went to give him a clap. So we're like, we think, what is that? Shammai? Ooh, Shammai is very tough. What does that mean? It's a very big inyan. And what does it mean that he wanted to become, he was willing to convert while standing on one foot? So it says in the Svarim, standing on one foot means only Emes. I don't want to have Emuna. Meaning, I don't want to have any difficulties. I don't want any yiridus. I just want to be, I want to know that I could convert and be a tzaddik and go to Olam Haba. I want to know that when I become a Jew, it's going to be clear. I'll understand why and I'll feel it the rest of my life and I'll be religious and I'll end up going to Olam Haba. Al regel achas means steady. Nothing will shake me. So what does Shammai do? He takes the Amas HaBinyan, which means one of the beams of the building from how Klai Yisrael was built, and he said, to give him a clap, he says, what do you think? That's what you want. That's not how we became Jews. That's not how we became Jews. We became Jews. Avraham Avinu's father was an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and life is not so simple. And you want to have a Yiddishkeit, because our regel achas, everything should be glad, should be clear, should be nice, smooth, beautiful. That's not how we became Jews. Get out of here. He takes Namas Abinyan. Doesn't mean he went to hit him. It means he said that this is not what we're built of ourselves. But he left it at that. He went to Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken says, of course, you will know. Basically, he told him that what you don't want being done to yourself, don't do to others. V'ahavta l're'acha kamaycha. We keep his favorite pasuk, right? V'ahavta l're'acha kamaycha. You shall love another Jew as yourself. So the Svar Makdoshim explain, what does that mean? That Hillel told him, Hillel said to this non-Jew who was thinking of being the guy, of converting, Hillel said to him, my friend, why do you think, all of a sudden, you had this interest in converting? Where did that come from? How do you think you got that feeling? Where do you think you got this idea of truth that just hit you, your brain and your heart, that this is the truth? I want to tell you where you got it from. Because there's some Yid someplace on the other end of the universe who went through an unbelievable Nisayan with his Emuna, where he had no emes in his heart and his mind. He didn't feel or understand anything. And he held on to his Emuna and he pulled himself out from that Yerida and he schlepped you out. Aye, so you would like to have a Yiddishkeit without falling. That's very, very nice. V'ahav l'racha kamaycha. Yeah? The same way that you got out, you have to bring others out if you want to be part of our people. It means that it's not going to be that way. Shammai was right. They're going to be your readers. It's not poshut to be a ger, to be a Jew. It's not poshut. But the same way that you wanted someone to pull you out of your Yerida, out of your darkness, to pull you out from the place that you were imprisoned in, you wanted him to do that. In other words, there was a Yid someplace that struggled with his Emuna when he had no emes in his mind and his heart. Now you would like to have a Yiddishkeit, a raglachas that's 100% makes sense to you and you feel it all the time. Forget it. It wasn't that person did it for you and you're going to do it for somebody else. You want to be a Jew? Be prepared for the ride. There are a lot of bumps. There are a lot of good days. There are good days, but there are more bad days. And all the warnings that we give the ger. And when we tell a ger, and I've been privileged, they've been from the most moving experiences of my entire life, to be part of a Beis Din with gerus on a number of occasions. When you tell the potential ger, even mamish, while he's standing in the water, in the mikveh, and you say to him, why do you want to, you really want to be part of Klal Yisrael? Oh, get clapped and gehacked. Get clapped from the goyim, gehacked from the Rabbeinu Shloilam, right? That's what you want. You really want that? You know about the, you know that there are a lot of halachas, you know this. A lot of stuff, minhagim and halachas. And the second that you become a Yid, you know, you have a Yiddish Yetzahara. What that means, the Maral talks about Bariches. The greater a person is, the greater the Yetzahara is. So Yisrael, when he looked and he saw what was going on, he saw this. That it's not exactly the way that I thought. The Zohar Kodesh says that before, that by that time of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jewish people fell into an unbelievable place of kitness, of smallness. And that's why they were filled with terror, they were filled with fear. Even we know from Chazal, just the pashtas of Chazal, the arguments that took place at the shore, who's going first and who's not going first, and how we learn the pshat and the medrash. Who doesn't want to go there until finally one amazing person knocks him in the that he went into the water. But according to the Zohar Kodesh, it was a pnimius attire. The Jewish people were holding at that time in a very, very small place. They fell from all the madregas and they were holding by a small place just terrified and afraid. And so too when it comes to Amalek. What state were we in when we were attacked by Amalek? The state we were in was Hayesh Hashem Bekir Beinu Imayim. I don't know, is there a God or isn't there a God? Hayesh Hashem Bekir Beinu Imayim Vayov Amalek. That's Amalek's business. What's Amalek's business? Rabbi says, Sveikas, right? Amalek is the Eitz HaDaas Tehara, right? You learned the Sveikas, the tree of doubt, of uncertainty. Amalek makes his way into a person's mind and heart when he's in a state of weakness. When his guard is down, when he has doubts, when he has Sveikas, Amalek comes to finish him off. Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Ayin. Again, Kriyas Yamsuf, both by Kriyas Yamsuf and by Milchamas Amalek, the Jewish people were only able to make it through those difficult tkufas when our hearts and our minds felt empty of the truth. We were only able to make it through because of Elokei Avoseinu. We held on to the coattails of our ancestors. Tafsu, as it says in Rashi, Umdus Avoseinu. They held on to the way of their ancestors, and they cried out to Hashem. They began to scream. And the Rashi says, no guy. But Rashi says they didn't know what to do. They started to cry. They started to daven. Same thing when it comes to Melchamas Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu's arms are held up high. He's holding up his arms and the Meshabed. They turned their hearts to Levim Shebishmayim. The Amunah wasn't sitting in. I mean, the Emes wasn't clear to them in their hearts and in their minds. Therefore, they had to look Klapei Shmaya. They looked towards heaven. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu on top of the mountain. It was all a Bechina of Amunah, and that's why it says Vehi Yadav. No. Emunah. And the hands of Moshe were faithful. And the Jewish people held on to that Emunah. So therefore, Yisro saw this, and he understood that in order to be part of Klai Yisrael, Klai Yisrael is not as perfect as they seem from the outside, just heading higher and higher and higher and higher, Sinai and beyond. He understood that even a Kayan Midian, like himself, a former priest of Midian, a person who had gone through horrible things, he understood that Yiddishkeit addresses the problems, the difficulties, the worries, the concerns, the memories, the pain of even a priest of Midian. And it addresses it with a koyach of emunah. And that you read this unnecessary part of life, Adirabba, that the Ratzon Hashem, Hashem's Baruch made us in such a way that before we come to any new madregas of emes, we must go through periods of emunah. We have to go through emunah. We have to connect Elokeinu of Elokei Avoseinu. And here's an unbelievable hisgalus that we have from the Svarim HaKadosh. You know that Yisro had a very, very famous granddaughter? Who's that? Who was a granddaughter, great-great-granddaughter of Yisro? No? No? Yael. Yael was a granddaughter of Yisro. Yael, as you remember, from the time of the Shoftim, Eichmol, from the time of the Shoftim, Yael and Holchevra Kaini, and Yisro himself was a Gilgal of Kain. Kain is Kaini. It's for a different time. The days of the Shoftim. One of the Chavarim mentioned to me, he was learning Navi, he was learning Shoftim. You know, it's a very hard thing. They teach Navi to children. You learn Sefer Shoftim. Shmuel's also hard, Melachim. But Melachim, they don't usually get that far. A little bit. Eliyahu Navi, a little bit Elisha, something. But Sefer Shoftim is very, very hard. Sefer Shoftim is very mysterious. We're reading about things that it looks to us like we wouldn't have had these kind of issues. According to the Ari HaKadosh, listen carefully, because really much more than I'm not saying, but according to the Ari HaKadosh, the biggest neshamas were being lifted up from the shmutz during the days of the Shoftim. And then the Filas and the Yeridus of Klal Yisrael at that time was a period of unbelievable Yeridus and Shiflus. A time when we look at the story even of Shimshon, we don't understand what that means. And Shimshon, we name our children Shimshon. Shimshon was a Tzadik Yisrael Olam. But if any of our sons would act that way, you know, the Rosh Hashiva certainly wouldn't tolerate it. You know, one of the Bachim carrying the gate of the city on his back. He's got himself a plishti young lady. It wouldn't go these days. At least not with anybody knowing about it. It wouldn't go. I mean, it's happening a lot, but just not people don't know. So they had to. It was a time where there were geirim that were being brought into the world. It was a time of utter darkness and spiritual desolation, where Hashem's Baruch's children were struggling in the mud. when the clarity of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua that they were holding on to was gone. And all they were left with was this emuna. So there was a great woman, Dvara. The Maaseh of Yael, of course, happened with the war, as you all know, with Sisera. So it says in the fifth parak, says by the Maaseh from Dvara, in her Shira, and the Shira is Dvara. We used to have to memorize this when we were kids. Bimei Shamgar ben Anas. You remember him? Shamgar ben Anas was the second Shofet, after Othniel ben Knaz. Shamgar ben Anas was only for a few months. He was Shofet for a few months. A very, very mysterious, a mysterious tzaddik, where in Nigla, in revealed Torah, there's very little that we see. A pasuk, tupso, his whole time was a few months. Bimei Shamgar ben Anas, she says, Dvar is saying this. Bimei Yael, in the days of Yael, Chodlu Arachos, listen to this, highway travel stopped. Arachos means highways, the clear highways, clear paths. Chodlu Arachos, the highways were not opened. And that's before there were unions. I'm sure some of you have been wondering what's been happening in Rockaway Boulevard, what's it called, Turnpike, you know, over the last 20 years, that every 3 years they dig it up and put it back together. You didn't have unions in those days and all kinds of deals and bribes and crookedness. And yet, Chodlu Arachos says the highways were closed. Listen, V'holchei Nesivos, they didn't have straight paths to walk on. Yelchu Arachos Al Kalkolos, they went by circuitous roads. Since the highways and the straight roads were closed, Dvorah is saying, in the days of the Shoftim, they had to make hakofis, or hamakif. There was no or pnimi, it was or hamakif. They had to take side streets, circuitous roads. I didn't remember the word circuitous, I checked in the translation. It's a fancy word. Circuitous roads. They had to make hakafas. They had to go around because the highways were closed. So Dvar is saying, Gewalt, like, what's that doing in the Shira over here? That the highways are closed and everybody's going like on the side streets. Bimei Shamge ben Anas, in the days of Yael. So you understand, it says in the Sfar Makadoshim, Al Pi Dairi, that Shamgar is the Oseus, Shamgar, Ger. In those days, it was the time that Hashem Baruch was bringing up many converts, Sham, Ger, Oseus, Ger, Shaim, from this week's parasha. We don't have time to go through it right now. It was a grandson of Yisro. Shamgar is Ger, Sham. Sham, Ger. That's what it means. Ger Hayisi Beres Nachriya. Gershom's name, the son of Moshe, the grandson of Yisro. Ki Ger Hayisi Beres Nachriya. I was a stranger in a strange land, in the name of Geris. Ubimei Yael, Dvar says, in the days of Yael. Yael is the great-great-granddaughter of Yisro. Those were days where the highways were closed. Emes was not to be found. Truth, or apnim, the inner light to fill the mind and the heart of Jews was shut. And all that was available were what? The arachais akalkolais. The circuitous, the roads that were making hakafis and coming back and forth in circles. All of that, which means emuna. Emunah is the Akalkolos, the Arachas Akalkolos of Yidden, that in the days of the Shoftim, the Rebbeinu Shlom, as we know from the Ayir Kodesh, was bringing out all these Geirim and Balei Tshuva and so on that had to be brought out. It's a big Inyan in the Kisveri. It was a time of Vihira Chayka Mimeni. There are times in life when the Emes, when it's clear to you in your mind and your heart, that's when there are highways. Hari is a gewaldic. You get on the highway, and you have to get to this place. You go straight. That's how you go. That's called emes. And then there are times in life where the highways are closed. Chodlu arachos. The highways are closed. V'hol chein nesivos. No path to walk on. And all that's left are the arachos al-kalkolos. The side streets. That means what? That means v'hi rechoikim imani. It's far from me. I don't understand. It makes no sense to me. But I'm going to try to make it through this time. I'll still daven, I'll still learn, I'll still keep mitzvahs, I'll still try to hold back from my verse, I'll do whatever I can, because if Elokei was saying to hold on to my emunah, even in the Yerida, even mamish, in the lowest place of my, in the lowest time of my life, shom ger, knowing that if I lift myself up, I'm lifting neshomis, mamish, in the lowest places, gerim and balichuv and other people, I'm helping them out from their Yeridas. And this was all Bimei Shamgar and the days of Ya'el, the descendant of Yisrael. All of this came from Yisrael's decision, from that person who heard Kriyas Yamsuf, he heard from Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek, that the pathway of the Jewish people in history is not Arachos and the Sivos. It's not a straight path to Mashiach. It's certainly not a straight path. It's Al-Kalkolos. It's a crooked, twisting, circuitous path. I had a friend of mine that was in Yerushalayim 2 years ago, last year, when I was in Yerushalayim. It's a friend of mine. Well, some of you know Chaim David, right? You know Chaim David. So I went outside, I was in his apartment, we were schmoozing for a while, and I went to the roof, and you feel like you could reach out and touch the harabayas in his roof. And I had such an unbelievable feeling of Yisroelness. And I was so jealous of Chaim David, you know, that when I look out from my window, I see a blue hydrant. And Chaim David sees the Harabayas. And I wanted to drop everything and to just stay there forever. And we will one day be there forever. But then I looked and I saw again, that even though it feels like it's a stone's throw, but in between his roof and that place, there's so much tumah, the tumah of Yishmael, the tumah of our enemy. And on the Harabais itself, is that tumah that stares you in the face. I'd rather look at the hydrant. Because the tumah is such a painful thing to look at. I know that's maybe the wrong hashkafa. And we should be zoicha to live in such a place. It's ridiculous, obviously. I'm not making any comparisons. To be here or to be there is a shaila. But the al-kalkolos, the circuitous paths, the maisa from the tzaddik, from Radishis, that I've told many times in shul, without going to the Halarichas, I'm sure many of you remember that it was Shalosh Sudas, and the Radishes around with his nephew, and he took him to the room next door, and all the Chassidim were had their ears up against the wall to hear what's going on. The Rebbe's with his nephew, what's going on? They heard singing and laughing, and then a second later they heard crying and sobbing. And they asked the nephew, what happened? After Shabbos, they asked what happened with your uncle, with the Rebbe, what happened? So he said that he came to the room, it was dark, and my uncle took me by the hand towards the window, and he pulled away the curtain. He said to look outside, and when I looked outside, it was lichtig, it was light. And I saw Yerushalayim. I saw Yerushalayim when Mashiach is going to be here. I saw Yerushalayim the way it's going to look at the end of time. And that's when you heard us laughing and dancing. So then why were you crying? Because then my uncle put his hand over my eyes for a second. And he told me to look again. And then I saw all the blood and all the misery and all the suffering that's going to have to be until that day. That's the arachos al-kalkolos, the circuitous paths. It means the kriyas yamsufs and the melchemes amaleks. It means the kitness, it means the smallness, it means the struggling with all the yeridas through periods of emunah. And here, by the way, I left, of course, I'm going to need another 10 minutes at least, maybe 15. But 12. I'll try. So Yisro is makabel upon himself. A brazoya, if that's the case, it means that even a Kayan Midian, even a former high priest of Midian, has a shaykhus. I understand that there's such a thing as you read this, and there's devots Hashem, and there's these arachos al kalkolos. So therefore he went out from Kvoidashul Oilam, from the most honored place in the world. He was the most respected and honored person in the world. And he went out into the desert. This going out to the desert means that Yisro understood that the desert is a place of Nechoshim and Akrabim, of snakes and of scorpions, of unbelievable tumah. But to seek the truth and to be a member of the Jewish people who are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, and to hold on to their coats which connect them to avoseinu va'avos avoseinu, to zaydis and alta zaydis, all the way back, to attach ourselves to this great truth, even though there are times in life you're mamish in the midbar, in the desert. He understood that this is what he needed to do, and this was the emes, this is the only way that he could find the truth. And therefore he went to Sinai. And Sinai, of course, is the place of the sneh. The Moshe Rabbeinu first, at the thorn bush, the Moshe Rabbeinu first encountered when he was working for Yisro, when he was living with Yisro. And Sinai is Miloshen sneh. Sinai is a lashon of sneh. It's a lashon of sin, it's a lashon of sneh. Sinai. Sinai is called Sinai because of this sneh. In Midbar Sinai, it means that it's a place that's covered with thorns. Thorns and thistles. Koitz v'dada tatzmiach lach. It says at the beginning of the Torah that once we left Gan Eden, Hashem is both told Adam and Chava that it's no longer going to be straight paths, it's no longer going to be highways. Highways were before you ate from the tree. That was nice. Then there were arachais and nesivas. Beautiful. But after that time, it's kites v'darda tatzmiach. What does it mean, kites? Thorns. You'll plant, but they're going to be thorns. And kites v'darda tatzmiach. Now listen. We're taught in the Zohar Kodesh and the Kisvei Ari and the Sforma Kodesh that the crowns that we have on the letters and the points that we have on the letters in the Sefer Torah, all the letters themselves are called Oisius. The points on the letters that are called Tagim are also called Kaitzim, thorns, like the Kutsoi Shel Yud. They're called thorns, like a thorn that attaches itself, a little piece. You have the ice, the letter, and then you have the kites. The letters themselves are emes. Moshe emes, v'sarasai emes. The letters themselves are emes, the truth, the clarity, the orpnimi. It's when it's written in black and white, like we say even in English. Let me see it in black and white. What's written in black? Where does it say in the Torah? That's what it says in the Torah. The oisius themselves, the letters themselves, are that quality of Or Pnimi. That's why the ink fills the page, the cloth, the parchment. That's called the inner light. That's what's emes, that's what's clear. And what are the kaitzim? What are the crowns and the thorns of the letters? That's called the surrounding light, that's called emuna. The white parchment and the thorns and the kaitzim are called emuna, faith. That's why it's an Or HaMakif, a surrounding light. It's like a crown, a kites. It's not the letter itself, it's something which is beyond the letter. Just like emes that we understand, that's emes that fills us, but then that which is attached or beyond, because it can't come in, like the white parchment can't, it's so amazing, and the kites in it are so deep that they can't come into the oases. And that's emunah, that's faith. So Chazal tells us that Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, whose entire life was V'ahav l'racha kamaycha, and he died that way, V'ahav l'Hashem alakecha. Rabbi Akiva, as you know, was a Ben Gerim, was from converts, right? Rabbi Akiva was a Ben Gerim, And Chazal say about Rabbi Akiva that in every single kites, every single crown, every single thorn on the letters of the Torah, that Rabbi Akiva was doyreish tili tilim shel halachis, the Gemara Menachos Chavtes. He learned out the deepest, deepest secrets, secrets that were not obvious and not clear in the emes of the Oisiyas. Rabbi Akiva, the whole Torah Shebal Peh is kula aliba, the Rabbi Akiva, that which is not clear, that which is emuna, that which is a crown, that which is beyond the letter, which is above the letters, which is above the Oisiyas. And Rabbi Akiva, who was a Ben Gerim, revealed that there's nothing in the world, there's no place in the world that is empty of Torah, there's nothing in life, that even when a person's going through a period of life where it's koitz and mamish, koitz v'dar de tatsmiach lach, where you're working, and all you get are thorns and thistles, there's nothing. And it's totally unclear. And you don't feel anything. So Rabbi Akiva's a Ben Gerim. And the inyan of a ger is what? The Jewish people are the Oisiyas. The Jewish people, like we said before, the people you see that they're from birth, they're religious, they're Jews from birth, and from birth, those are the Oisiyas, those are what? Oisiyas, Yeshishim, Rebbe, Oisiyas, the Torah. Every Jew is a letter in the Torah. And if every Jew is a letter, then what's a ger? What's a Yisroi? Yisroi is from the word Yoseh, which means extra. Rabbi Akiva was doyreish from the kaitzim, from what? He was from every kol kaitz v'kaitz, every thorn, every moment of pain, every moment of uncertainty, every midbar, every moment of misery in his life. He was doyreish tilei tolim tilim shel halachis. He learned that from the what? Unbelievable yesaidus in emunah in avodas Hashem. Because the neshamas of the geirim come from the kaitzim of the Oisiyas. From the thorns, the added pieces, which are in fact the crowns, which is makif, a crown is always a makif, it's a surrounding light. The ice itself is an inner light. The crown of the letter is a surrounding light, because the crown means emunah. Therefore Yisroi, whose entire search for the truth led him to this realization that to live a life of truth meant that there will be aliyas and yiridus, that to be at Har Sinai means that you have to live with a snare. And living with a snare means koitz v'dar de tatzmiach lach. It means arachas al kalkolos, and he's going to have grandchildren at Gerim, and there'll be a Rabbi Akiva in the world. Which if you look in the writings of the Kohen and other Sfarim is also an union with Yisro. It's not for now. Rabbi Akiva, the connection, it's not for now. But from here Yisro understood that it's not going to be arochos, it's not going to be straight pathways and highways. But they're going to be al kalkolos, circuitous, crooked, painful detours in life. And those are in the end going to be the crowns of the letters. Al kol kites for kites, Rabbi Akiva learned that from all of the difficulties. Till his last moment, his last breath, which he died with the word echad. That life hasn't it kites him in yeridus. And think of what an amazing day it must have been in this parasha. I'll end now. Vayoytzei Moshe l'kras chaisnoi. The Moshe Rabbeinu went out to greet his father-in-law. He went out to greet Yisro. V'yishtach v'yishak lo. Rashi says, Kovet godlnis kabed Yisro ba'ayis ha'shah. What a gewaldige kovet there was. What an honor it was for Yisro at that time. Why? Kevin sheyotze Moshe yotze ar. If Moshe Rabbeinu went out, of course Aaron would also go. And Aaron went, so Nadav and Avihu went. And then other Yidden saw. And they started to say, did you see Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron? They're going in Nadav and Avihu. So by the end, every Jew in the world at that time went to be mekabel panim, went to greet Yisro. Can you imagine Yisro's thinking, I'm the lowest person in the world. I'm coming out to the midbar. No one's going to want me because they know who I am and what I am. And how dare I add myself to them. These are the Oisiyas of Hashem's Torah. And he thought that if anything, he'd be hissed and booed and sent away. And when he comes there, he sees what Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and Adonavi and all the Zakenim and every single man, woman, and child of Klal Yisrael, all these Shishim Ribay Isis, all of the letters of the Torah came dancing to greet the crowns of the letter, to greet the Geirat, the Ger Tzedek. And they say, Rabbi Yisrael, Tyra, Tyra, brother, we've gone through terrible Yeridas, and now you could come home to us because of what we went through. And we love you, we want you. So all Moshe Rabbeinu means emes. Moshe emes v'saroso emes. Moshe who's emes. Moshe means teresh v'chsav, it means the letters, it means what's clear, what's understood, what's felt. So Moshe Rabbeinu leads all of the little Isis, all of Hashem's letters, out to greet who? To greet the thorn, the crown. The thorn that became a crown. The one who saw himself as a thorn. Because what? Because who am I? What am I? And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Isis, said, you don't understand, we need you. The letters can't be without the kitzim. The letters can't be without the crowns, without the tagim. Because the tagim mean emunah, the tagim mean yiridus, the tagim mean that which we can't possibly understand. It's not in the letters. It's not in black and white. It's not written anywhere. It's just what we want to be and what we're longing to be, to wear that crown. And that's the side, the deeper meaning of Eishes Chayil, a terrorist Baalim. An Eishes Chayil, and Jewish people are Hashem's Eishes Chayil. But every Jewish wife and Jewish mother, an Eishes Chayil, every Jewish woman, this Bechil of Eishes Chayil, a terrorist Baalim, is the crown of her husband. That means the Iker Eisek of the men is with the Eisias of Torah. The men are busy, the husband's busy with the letters. He's in the Smedrish all day, with the Emes, 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 he's in the business of Emes. And the woman is the Bechina of what? Elokeinu v'Elokei Avos Seinu v'Elokei Avos Seinu. The Zaydis and the Babis taught us this way, this is who we are. Emunah was always, that was the pride of what? Of our mothers and our grandmothers, Emunah. Emunah, pshuta, pashtus in Emunah, unshakable Emunah. Therefore, remember the most murdic thing, the Gemara in the Dharm. Everybody remembers Rabbi Akiva and his wife Rachel were sent out from the house of Kalba, Savua. Everybody knows that he wasn't prepared to accept such a shidduch. And you also remember that Rachel gave up everything. She gave up much, much more than everything. The wife of Rabbi Akiva. And Chazal tell us, even though Chazal don't normally talk about these kind of things, it's a pella that Chazal let us in on this story. Obviously it's because our lives depend on it, or else Chazal wouldn't have said such a private, intimate thing. But you know that Rabbi Akiva made for her a crown. A Yerushalayim the Dahava, a crown of Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. A crown of Yerushalayim that he made for when they were running away, when they had no place to stay and they were living in a barn. And her hair was, and her head was covered with thorns and shmutz. As the Gemara says. And he promised that he's going to make her a crown of Yerushalayim in 24 years later, 24,000 students later. She couldn't get through the crowd, and Rabbi Akiva said, leave, all that I have and all that you have is because of her. All that I have as a Jew, well, with all my madregas and all my emes and all my Torah and all my oisias and all my letters, all I have and all that we all have is because of her. Her is emunah pshuta. All the letters have is because of the crowns of the letters. It's because of emunah pshuta. And there we understand that when Chazal said when Rabbi Akiva died, botla kavod haTorah. When Rabbi Akiva died, the kavod of Torah, the glory of Torah was disappeared. Because the greatest kavod haTorah was this Torah that Rabbi Akiva earned. Rabbi Akiva with Rachel bas Kalba Savua, the whole inyan of what? Of the kites and Malkal kites for kites, every thorn and every moment of difficulties and uncertainties and pain. So the Iker is Chazkis Dikur is chaskis for people like ourselves. When the parashas Yisroi, the end of Shavuvim, we're coming to the end of Shavuvim, but this tkufa, as we prepare ourselves once again, the Melchama with Amalek, and we're about to meet Hashem to enter into the Kedusha of Purim and of Pesach, times of Nisim and Geula. The whole Inyan of Purim is before the Kabbalah's Torah of Purim, before Kimu V'Kibla, we had to go through the Pachad and that difficult time in Shushan Habir. And before we could come to Pesach, we had to have Mitzrayim. It's the Seder of our lives, Mitchila Oivdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. This is the state of our lives. When Mashiach comes, each and every one of us is going to be presented with a crown. We're going to look at Mashiach. He's going to be so beautiful. We're going to see him in Mitzvah Hashem very, very soon. We're going to look at Mashiach and we're going to see the crown that he's wearing. And we're going to say to ourselves, boy, I wish I had something like that. That's really cool. I wouldn't say that. I don't like that word. I would say something like, it's really neat. It's not corny. Okay, but the children will say cool. Or just cool. Right? Mashiach's crown, wow. And then we're gonna line up to give shalom to Mashiach. Everyone. Chazal tells every Jew is going to give shalom to Mashiach. It's a shayla. Every yid. And we're going to be embarrassed. Because, you know, even when you go to a tzaddik, you're afraid. You go to a tzaddik. A lot of people would rather not go to the tzaddik because they're afraid. They look at the tzaddik and the tzaddik sees. So it's bad enough that I know and Hashem knows. He also has to know. So everybody's going to be afraid when you come to Mashiach. Everybody's going to say, you go first. What's going on? We're waiting thousands of years for this. Can't anybody go? So finally, some Nachshon Ben Aminoda, right? Some yid's going to go over and they'll give him a push, some guy. Finally, some guy that, like, you know, he always gets pushed around. They'll push him there, and he comes to Mashiach, and he's shaking, and he has his head down because he remembers every single affair he ever did in his life. And he thinks that he's worse, a million times worse than Yisrael, Kain Midian. He served every idol on earth. And Mashiach is going to take that Jew, he's going to hold him by the chin, he's going to lift up his head. And he's going to give him a crown of Yerushalayim Zahav. A crown of Yerushalayim. And he's going to tell him, listen, and I'm not going to believe it. And he's going to say, you know something? I'll call kites for kites. Everything that you went through in life, with all your readers, you still went the next day to shul. You still put on tefillin. You still tried to bring up your children to be good Jews. And every one of us is going to get a crown. The Baruch Shalom is going to tell us, Eishes Chal Ateres Bala, you have been my faithful wife. Even though the emes wasn't always available to you, and you didn't always chap, you didn't always understand. And even though the roads were so crooked, you made it. You made it to the end. You made it to Yerushalayim. And here's the crown of Yerushalayim. We should be zeichet to wear it with pride. And we should be zeichet mitzvah Hashem that it should be soon, it should be very soon, the Gula Hashem v'amitis, and have your men on me.